I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to ModPath Chat, the official podcast of Modern Pathology, featuring interviews with authors and experts on the latest science, technology, and developments in the field of pathology. Your host, Dr. George Netto, is the editor-in-chief of Modern Pathology and the chair of pathology at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. Here's Dr. Netto.
Welcome to another exciting episode of ModPath Chat. I'm happy to host today Dr. Carolina Gomez, Associate Professor of Pathology at the Federal University of Minas Gerais in Brazil. For those of you who don't know, this is where I was born and I am a Brazilian citizen, but unfortunately, I don't speak Portuguese very well. I left when I was a child. Dr. Gomez is an oral pathologist with expertise in molecular pathology of odontogenic tumors. We will be discussing with her her team recent publications on adenoid ameloblastoma that came out in Modern Pathology. Thank you, Carolina, for accepting my invitation.
Well, thank you, Dr. Netto. It's a great pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you. Let's start with, and I realize there is a little bit delay due to internet, and we'll make sure we don't talk over each other and try to raise your voice as much as possible. Let's start with the entity. I realize it's a rare entity. I've seen it once or twice. Hopefully I diagnosed it correctly. So can you share with our audience how to diagnose, what is this entity, how to diagnose it correctly?
So adenoid ameloblastomas, they are extremely rare. And up to now, there are approximately 40 cases reported in the literature. This tumor was previously considered variant of ameloblastomas because it shares microscopic similarities as well as some clinical features. In these reported cases in the literature, there is a high recurrence rate, approximately 70% of the cases recurred after enucleation, which is similar to ameloblastomas. And only now in the 2022 head and neck classification of the head and neck tumors, the World Health Organization recognizes this tumor as a separate entity. In this new classification of head and neck tumors, they listed features that are essential for the diagnosis of adenoid ameloblastomas, and those include the presence of ameloblastic or ameloblastoma-like features, a cribriform architecture, the presence of morules cells, and also the presence of duct-like structures. These are the essential diagnostic criteria. They further included features that are desirable for the diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And amongst these are the presence of dentinoid material and the deposition of lentinoid material in the presence of clear cells and also ghost cell keratinization.
Excellent. Well, just by this description, one can imagine how it looks like. And so the WHO is no longer a subtype. It's an entity on its own. It has a chapter on its own. That's great.
Yes. Now it's considered a new entity. Yes.
Excellent. So I imagine that was a drive for you to do this study, is that there wasn't much molecular known on this before your paper, and you want to see, does it really share molecular features with ameloblastoma or not? So tell us a little bit about the cohort and what technology you used.
Yes. So in a previous study, we investigated the presence of the BRAF V600E mutation, because these are markers for ameloblastomas. Mm-hmm. And also, the presence of duct-like structures is a histological feature that can be similar to adenomatoid odontogenic tumors. And those are characterized by KRAS codon 12 mutations. So in a previous cohort, we investigated BRAF and KRAS mutations and showed that the adenoid ameloblastoma samples are wild type for this mutation. But we just showed that they are different somehow, but we could not show that there are genetic features that are characteristic of adenoid ameloblastomas. So as I mentioned previously, there is the presence of ghost cells. There is a microscopic features that I shared with other entities, characterized by beta-catenin mutations, including not only other odontogenic tumors, but also pilomatricomas and craniopharyngiomas. Mm-hmm. So we went for it. We decided to investigate if beta-catenin mutations would be the underlying cause for these tumors. We had some samples here. We had some tumors here in Brazil at Universidade Federal de Minas Gerais. But we also invited other pathologists to contribute with samples. And I'm very grateful that they sent us some samples, because as I mentioned, these tumors are really rare. So we collected 9 cases of adenoid ameloblastomas, and we investigated beta-catenin exon 3 mutations by using Sanger sequencing, and 40% of these cases showed the mutations.
So we'll come to the results in a second. So let me...
Okay, sorry.
Okay. It's just because before, with my old age, I forget the question by the time if I don't ask it fast. So very interesting. The comment I wanted to make is I love that a morphologic feature pretty much guided you to zoom in on beta-catenin. And there's the rest of the story you're going to tell us in a second, which is a little surprising too. But this is the beauty of pathology. Just with your own eyes, you can identify what's going on based on the phenotype, potentially predict, now that we know certain correlations between phenotype and genotype, what should I be looking for? So that to me is just amazing. And I love hearing that now. But my question is, how come initially, I know you looked for KRAS, you looked for BRAF because obvious reason to differentiate from these two entities to see if they share with these other entities in the differential, and you found negative for these two. But how come you didn't find the beta-catenin in that study? Can you share with us why? Is it the technique you use or you
didn't? No, so in the first moment, we only Sanger sequenced BRAF and KRAS.
Exactly.
So that's why I didn't have another target at the moment, because I didn't know the results we were going to find.
Correct.
So we decided to publish the first results, the negative results. But then when I was studying a little more about this entity, and I realized that there wasn't much molecular data on this tumor.
So And I wanted you to say that answer because it is you don't find when you're going just for a specific target, you either find it or not, as opposed to have used NGS from the beginning, probably the beta catenin would have showed up and you could have done everything in one shot. But you got two papers out of it. So this is
yes, but this was not the idea. You know?
Was it
intentional? I didn't want to to split the results and publish to people. This was not the whole idea.
Actually, I understand.
Yes, actually, the final version of the head and neck classification of tumors was coming out. And while I was reading it, I'm not a co-author of this chapter, but I was reading the molecular pathology data and I said, oh, this is based on an abstract that was submitted at a meeting, but the paper never came out, and it relied only on IHC, you know, the absence of BRAF mutation relied on IHC only, and in a very small cohort. And so I wanted to go on very quickly so that the paper could be actually included in the chapter. That was the real reason why I decided to publish it quickly.
Amazing. Such a young expert trying to change the science and the classifications, improve it. I'm very impressed. And I couldn't be prouder that you're from Brazil. So
I didn't know you were from Brazil. You never told me.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess you see me in Brazil, but you never expected that I am.
Yes.
All right. That's good. So let's go back. This is too much fun, but let's go back to paper.
Sorry.
Now, so what were the findings? Clearly, sounds like you found beta catenin. So what kind of exon mutations and what else did you do?
Yes. So we detected beta catenin mutation at codons 33, 34, and 37. And these mutations occurred in 4 out of the 9 cases. But there's an interesting finding is that one of these tumors, we had 3 different biopsies. One was from the primary tumor, and then 2 different recurrences that were treated as adenomatoid odontogenic tumors at the moment. But then the pattern of mutation was the same in the primary and in the 2 recurrences. So I think that this points to the utility of our findings, because if in the first primary tumor, this mutation had been detected, then the tumor would have been treated more aggressively maybe, and it wouldn't have recurred. Also, in addition to the Sanger sequencing, we further used IHC for beta catenin, and all of the cases except 1 showed a positive staining in the cytoplasm and also in the nuclei. So even those that were wild type for the mutation showed positivity in the IHC, which was somehow unexpected. But it's also an interesting finding.
I want to emphasize nuclear positivity.
Yes, nuclear positivity, yes. Mm-hmm. Even in the wild-type cases. Hmm. So this means that the pathway is activated not only by these mutations, maybe another mutation that we hadn't been able to detect because we haven't assessed other mutations at beta-catenin or other genes in the WNT pathway.
So. Excellent. And the other interesting finding is, although your ghost cells were what led you to focus on beta catenin, not all these cases had ghost cells, right?
No, yes, that's an interesting finding. Not all the positive cases for mutation presented them ghost cells, because we have to remember that this is not essential criteria for diagnosis, right? This is desirable, but not essential. But yes, this is definitely interesting.
That is amazing. And what is the take home? By the way, you just said maybe those who are positive for IHC either have other genetic alterations or other mechanism of accumulations of beta catenin, yes. Right? But you better go ahead and do NGS so nobody beats you to discovering those in those cases. And maybe we can collaborate on that with one of our oral pathologists here.
Yeah, and that would be great.
We'll be happy to run the NGS. And this is my role as a chair. I'm trying to find to our young people some research to do too. So the take home message. It's a subtype, is no longer a sub, shouldn't be a subtype. The WHO got it right. It's an entity by its own, right? For a change. Not always WHO gets it right. So yeah. that's one important. And it sounds like diagnostically, we just should, on these difficult cases, since they're rare, we don't have enough expertise, confirm them with IHC. Is that what you would recommend?
Yes, I think that the main message is that based on what is known now, it probably is a different entity, right? Because it has not only a different molecular profile, but also a different immunohistochemical pattern. So this could help in difficult, in the diagnosis of difficult cases, right? So I think this is the most important message. I think that the way that WHO classifies a tumor, it can change throughout time, right?
Absolutely.
And also more information can be incorporated into this molecular portrait of the tumors. So based on these results, I think we can assume it's entity and not a variant of ameloblastomas as it was considered previously.
Correct. Subtype instead of variant is a And you're absolutely correct. I was, of course, joking about the WHO, sometimes getting it wrong. It's the idea of the WHO is to go back for the last 5 years and see how the science evolved. And we know we have to take out some entities, put in some entities. So this is how it works and how it's supposed to work. Beautiful images, by the way. I regret that I didn't select that pathway to be a cover. Because we have a beautiful pathway, wind signaling pathway illustration that you you put. So I refer our audience to it. And it's been really a pleasure. This is a very clean cut study with significant findings. And I congratulate you on you and your team. I wish we had time to mention each one, but I noticed that one of your mentors, Dr. O'Dell, must have contributed cases.
Yes.
But for our audience, go and read this beautiful paper. And thank you very much, Carolina, for coming.
I thank you. And I also want to express my gratitude to all my collaborators, because I couldn't have done any of this without him, especially Professor O'Dell, Ed O'Dell, because he contributed a lot.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you. So long, everyone.
Any opinions expressed in this podcast are the speaker's own and do not represent the views of Modern Pathology, Springer Nature, UAB, or USCAP. Your ModPath Chat host and scientific director is Dr. George Netto. Producers are Christina Crow, Amber Jackson, Dr. Sarah Jang, and Dr. Catherine Ketchum. Technical direction is provided by Kaminsky Productions, music by Mitch Neubauer. Thanks to the authors, reviewers, and editors of Modern Pathology for making this podcast possible.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.